Hello, diary listeners. That's a very yummy pickle that I was having. Pardon. But it kind of feeds into a little bit. I just thought about this as I got a midday snack here on Tuesday. Welcome. Hello. God bless. All that. We're calling this week's diary entry Oklahoma or OK road trip. And I don't know if y'all are aware, but I've been away for the past 2 weeks in Oklahoma. And the reason why pickles are kind of a part of all of this is that I had the fortune of learning how to play pickleball from my dad, who was my traveling companion. Welcome to the Apprenticeship Diaries, where raw meets refined.
Let's be real, we're still working on refined.
What it took, what it takes, and the stories that are made.
Join us as we learn from professionals about how their stories began.
So this week, I'm going to attempt to tell you about my trip. And hopefully I don't leave out anything pertinent, but, you know, I'm sure some of it you had to be there to, you know, to get the beauty of. But I think it was a pretty cool time. I think I first want to start out by saying that I'm kind of mad at myself that I was kind of irritated that my dad was wanting to come along, mostly because I kind of had it in my mind that I was going to do this trip solo. There's a good friend of the podcast, and she's actually has a diary entry, Nicole DeRoy. And Nicole did a solo road trip for a long time, and it was very, very aggressive in its timelines, and she did it, and I kind of like, I liked the idea of it. Rico had said that he wasn't going to want to do it. And I, of course, that's not holding me back. I want to go. So when we went to Paradise this last year, I met the people at Karma Body Modifications, and I had known Renee at Goldfang Gallery. I had heard good things about Goldfang Gallery, too, from Nicole DeRoy, who also stopped there in her tour across America. And I don't know, it just seemed really fun to me, and I was pretty determined to go by myself. Like I said, Rico isn't really keen on long road trips. He's a big human. It's not really his thing, even though I think he would have enjoyed himself and it wouldn't have been that bad. But, you know, he didn't want to go. And he was, again, very like, oh, you should maybe fly, or you shouldn't go by yourself. And a big thing that everybody was like, well, you should get your carry license. So as I've already done a podcast about, I took my Maryland carry and my Utah carry classes so that I could apply for my permit. While I was gone, my Utah came, so that didn't come in time for me to, you know, carry. And my Maryland one still hasn't come around, though I hope I will be permitted soon and be able to get my HQL and all of that good stuff. But I wasn't able to attain any of those things in time, and when my parents learned that I was going by myself, they were not too thrilled. My mom really didn't want me to go by myself. This has been as old as time with me and my family. Very protective. As anybody could hope their family to be. And it's a matter of seeing it in the right perspective. I always saw it as controlling and just really minimizing the time that I would have. My mom has always been someone that's like, well, when you go to this person's house, you know, make sure that you call me when you get there. You call me when you're leaving. You know, like, it was just like I had to check in all the time. And it, you know, I kind of resented it because for me, it was always like, dude, like, why? Like, I kind of took it personally because, like, why don't you trust me? Why don't you trust these other people that I'm going to see? You know, if you have the information to contact this person that I'm going to see, you know, if something goes wrong, then you can call and figure it out. But, you know, I'm not a parent. I was a kid at that point, and I guess the resentment is understandable, and I had no idea how to see it. Later on in life now, though, I do see it as caring and kind and just, you know, loving me beyond reason and wanting to make sure that, you know, everything's okay. Not to mention, you know, when I pulled back away from, you know, my own selfish wants, I thought to myself, you know, none of us are getting any younger. And again, there's lots of people that I know that don't have the benefit of their parents anymore, let alone, you know, like they're missing a parent, you know, not missing, but like their parent has passed away and or they've lost both. So it was something where I was like, come on now, you've always enjoyed your father, you know, just, you know, embrace this. You know, anything can happen at any point, not only on this trip, but after, you know, this is going to be an ability to make a memory and to do something really cool. And also, you know, there's been a want of me ever since COVID to stay close to home. I do know what that's about. I realized how blessed I am in the family that I have. And I was shown how much my family was there for me when I needed them to be, and just how wonderful and glorious that was. And there's just this huge calling for me to stay close, to lean into my family. And I really feel like that's the case. And actually, just the other day, I was already back, but I heard about this movie that's coming out, Unsung Hero, that's all about basically what I'm talking about. I want to go see it now, but one of my podcast listens that is regular is the Michael Knowles Show, and he was interviewing the creators of the film, and it was about their family and about what had happened to their family. And so it's a telling of this story, and basically it was, you know, like your family isn't getting in the way, your family is the way is a big thing. And it kind of chronicles the quote that Mother Teresa has, that it's, you know, don't, if you're trying to change the world, I'm going to butcher this, I'm sure, but if you're trying to change the world, go home and raise your family and do a good job raising your family. And, you know, it's taken me a long time to mature, folks. I hope, if you've been listening to this for any kind of time, that you understand that this is a diary of learning and growing. And it's not only me personally, but the people that I've interviewed, and it's a moving thing. And so that's what's been kind of on my heart lately, and it has been ever since 2020. Just to stay with my family and to be more involved with them. And, you know, I've been growing spiritually, and then also wanting to combine things with my family. I've also, you know, in truth, as much as I love tattooing And I don't think I'll ever stop it. I think I'll just, it's going to be more isolated and it's going to be very special. Whatever I transform it into now, it has to be. Because, you know, I've been doing it for 16 years and I feel the need to really ground myself in what that is. It's become very sacred for me. And it's something that I very much so want to do, but do in a way that not only, it's beyond service. It's, like I said, sacred. And I don't really know where it's moving next. I don't really know what it's all going to amount to. But there's a thing in me that wants to diversify. You know, this podcast is an expression of that. My want to learn how to do calligraphy better, which, you know, I've kind of dropped, but I've started again. I'm really excited about starting that again. I want to do a series on the Book of Revelation. I think that would be metal and awesome and very cool and a way to glorify God with my talent. That would be amazing. But as you guys have seen, too, there's a want in me to carve wood and to be in a wood shop. So my dad has a lot of woodworking equipment. And, you know, we've been discussing what next steps are for the building that I actually have my studio in. And it seems like it might be coming together where my dad and I are kind of in the same. It's kind of weird because he's going to be 70 this year. I'm going to be 43, but we're kind of in the same like mind frame business wise where we kind of want to continue doing what we're doing with a very small clientele that we have, maybe a few extra people here and there, but nothing extravagant, just keep active in that way as much as we can. But we'd really like to do something with wood, and that's pretty cool. So it gave me, to put a pin in that for a second, it gave me the opportunity to discuss all these things with my dad and along with that, many other things, many other philosophies. Our long drive, it was, I'd say if you rounded it, about 18 hours both ways, you know, like going and back, give or take. So it gave us, you know, 2 full days of driving to discuss things. My dad is really great to work with because he's a great teacher. He has a diary entry on here that illustrates him being my first mentor in a lot of ways. He taught me a lot about what I know about hair, but also everything. I know how to ride a bike, how to shoot a gun. Sorry, that was my phone. I should silence it. Forgive me, listeners. Again, sorry about that. I have put my phone in silent mode and it will not do that anymore. It's my Blink camera service. Every time the wind blows, it seems like that camera catches something. But, I've always really learned well from my father. He's, just very calm. Very good at explaining things, breaking things down. It's pretty awesome. And so we traveled. I went to Goldfang Gallery first. I managed to get an Airbnb that was super close to the studio. It's in an apartment complex that was like, I'd say like 2 blocks away. So I could have walked there. I didn't. I drove every day, but I could have very easily walked there. The Airbnb that I was at the, what were they called? It was in the artist district. It was very cool. They were called the, I think, Aviar Apartments. I could be wrong, but they were really good. And my host, Ben, was awesome. The entire stay was great. We had a little, each place that we stayed at had a little bit of an issue, but it's like if you know, if you've ever rented a place or run a business or anything like that, which Airbnb rentals are, they're renting a place and a business for somebody, you know, stuff happens and you just, my family, we rent a property and we understand how things happen. I think it was last year my parents had to redo, I think it was the entire like well. They had to get a whole other well redrilled. So, I mean, that was like ginormous and like the entire property was dug up. It was crazy, but, you know, stuff like that. So we had little hiccups in both places, but nothing to write home about. And I wanted to point that out, not to highlight the things that happened, but to encourage all of you that if you are traveling to a place and you're using somebody else's rental property, communicate with them. That's kind of the beauty of Airbnb and those kind of things. You have a direct person that you can talk with, and in my experience, they are very accommodating and they tackle issues very quickly. In both cases, everybody was super lovely and worked with us, and we were able to manage despite the, you know, the hiccups that happened within the properties. So what I can tell anybody is that if you're traveling, you want to make sure that you don't burn bridges where you go, and that you keep in mind that we're all trying to do stuff here and we're all trying to live and live together. And it's best to be kind within those things and be considerate. Don't seek to end people's careers just over things that just happen. It's not wise. I've been on Airbnb now for 7 years. I've traveled many times and stayed in Airbnbs. And, you know, keep in mind, they can review you just as much as you can review them. So that's kind of, I think, a cool feature of Airbnb is that, you know, everybody is held accountable. And, you know, I think that, I hope that isn't coming through, that sound. It's just, I can't win for losing, folks. There's text messaging dinging in the background. That's the other thing. Everybody and their mother has hit me up, since I've been away, since, you know, like, I've gotten, and it's all over the place. It's not just been for tattoos. It's been for everything. I've had several cancellations. I've had an offer to work at a studio, which I'm exploring. I've had somebody asking me to do faux painting in their bedroom. What else? It's endless. I had to handle financial stuff along the way. Putting all my retirement money in one place, so I had to move stuff around. Like, there's just been a handful of crap going on in the background of even just this trip. So please understand, it's not it's not easy to do any of these things, but it is worth it. If ever you think that you are not capable of traveling as a tattoo artist, I'm here to tell you are. If I can do it, you can do it. I don't like planning many things. And what the hell is like? Oh, this. I don't even know if you guys can hear this or not, but it's a phone call that's coming through. Sorry about this, listeners. It's a phone call that's apparently coming through my computer, and it was a scam likely, but I could hear it. Oy, back on track. So, everybody has been hitting me up. It's been nuts. And it's just one thing on top of another. I guess to go back a little bit, but our Airbnbs were great. Golfing Gallery was stunning. I hope to share some of the pictures that I took there. The crew is amazing. I can't say enough great things. The setup for guest artists is beautiful. Renee does such a great job. Renee Little, of creating a space just in general, but also a guest artist space that's lovely. She also, does a lot to provide equipment for you to try out that's more eco-friendly. Just the whole thing is wonderful. Her staff is just so cool. Her staff is top-notch. All of them, Chase, Corey, both of you were just super awesome to meet and to talk with and to work with. Every single person that tattoos there, I'm just blown away by the talent and how fun you all are and how kind you all are. It was really great. My roommate to my room, Jacob, it was great meeting you, man. It was nice to share a space with you. Just everything was wonderful. I ended up having a walk-in come and get tattooed by me. She had me put a magnolia flower next to a rose that Renee had done. So that was such an honor to be right next to Renee and to grow a garden that had a purpose and many flowers that will be added on. But it was so nice to get that as a walk-in. So that was super, 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 super awesome. Her name was Alex. Alex, I really appreciate, you let me work on you, girl. And to be next to Renee's work is just super amazing. And then there was a flash day, which I love how they organized that. I have to admit, I haven't been a part of many flash days, but that was super refreshing. Corey's partner, Caleb, let me tattoo him. I got to meet this really awesome jewelry maker and I tattooed a little, I don't know what you call them, but like a bone dude from Super Mario. It's just his face. And he was such a sweet, sweet person. I really had a great time with both of them and doing such simple tattoos that are honestly very challenging within their simplicity. That was really cool to diversify my talent that way. My scheduled client, Jessica, who came and she was having me fill in some spaces in between really beautiful design work on her arm, this black and gray design work. And I just felt honored to add to those spaces. We actually didn't end up doing the initial flower that we thought. We will be. I want to go back to Oklahoma City and work on her further. But, 4 hours, I forget which one it was, we worked, but that's a lot of time, folks. And it's, it's not really, easy to get through. She did really well. And, but 4 hours is about time that I'm like, I'm good. I got tattooed today and I have enough to heal and I don't want to do anymore. So, Jessica, we put, some beautiful primrose on her because as I was driving to Oklahoma, I was seeing all these beautiful like pink flowers on the ground. I was like, I wonder what that is. It's primrose. They grow wild in Oklahoma, but they were growing all the way up to Oklahoma, Tennessee, Alabama, all of them. Arkansas, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma. They were all on the road and it was so pretty. Like, I highly recommend a road trip, at the end of April, mid-April, I guess, beginning of May. Just the flowers are stunning. They're just stunning. I will say Oklahoma's a little a little scary as far as the weather's concerned, because there was a couple of times that the tornado bells or sirens were going off. Apparently every Saturday in Oklahoma City at noon, they test the sirens, and it's a different sound if there actually is a tornado coming. So that was interesting to learn too. But every Saturday at noon, they test the sirens. We didn't have any tornadoes actually in Oklahoma City, though. When my dad tried to play pickleball, because that was his mission, to play pickleball wherever he could, which I thought was awesome. You know, I think it's awesome that my dad's so active. When you see the pictures of my father, you'd never guess that he was 70. He's incredible. When we played pickleball together, he kind of like wiped the floor with me. He's always been amazingly athletic. You know, he doesn't see it that way, because he's always competed with, I think, people who are elite in their class, but he's always put himself in alignment with that and stayed just so active. So in his later years, he's just incredible. He's really, really fit. And I mean, I can't say enough about it, but what he found is when he tried to go to some free courts outside at parks, it's so windy in Oklahoma. I mean, it's like the song, you know, it's so windy. You can't play things like pickleball because you have this wiffle ball and it just takes the ball. So, you know, he was like, I'm going to have to find a place inside. So one of the things, and probably the only things that I can speak of as far as entertainment in Oklahoma that I got to experience that I definitely recommend is Chicken and Pickle, or Chicken and Pickles, which is a whole facility. It's got everything. It's got pickleball and it's got food. It's got a bar. It's got this outdoor like play area where, of course, you can play pickleball, but they also have like large wooden versions of like Battleship and Jenga and like checkers. It was just a playful area, and it was super cool and super inexpensive too. Like, if you want to experience pickleball, it was great, because it was only like I think $5 to rent a paddle and get a ball, and then you can take the ball with you. So now we have a pickleball that's kind of like our souvenir from Oklahoma City, and Chicken and Pickle. And open play is like in the morning, I think it was until 10. And you can, they just have a rotation of people. And there's some really elite people playing pickleball there, man. Like, the games got really, really intense and really, really cool. These people are really good. So I watched a lot of it. My dad's explaining to me the game. And then we reserved a court on Sunday, which was my free day when I wasn't working, and I got a chance to play. And then we played with this couple. I hope I can remember their names. I can't. It was Heath, I remember, is the man's name. And then, oh, shoot. His wife was so cute. And her and I were on the same like level. We were pretty bad. And they had reserved the court after us, and they let us play with them. And my dad really instructed all of us at that point, which was really cool, because he was able to, you know, teach everybody, and we were able to actually have, you know, a four person full court game. So it's really fun. And the hardest part is keeping score, but it's not that hard once you get going, and it's pretty fun. So I highly recommend pickleball. If you don't consider yourself athletic or talented in that way, I would say you should try pickleball, because it's something that all people can do to some level, you know? So definitely try pickleball. I'd say in Oklahoma City, that's a gem. It wasn't that far outside of the city proper. Super fun. We also ate at a couple of really great places. Renee took us out. There's just all kinds of food around that's really good. Let's see. Lots of food. We bought boots at both Cavender's and the Boot Barn. My mom wanted a pair of cowboy boots, and that inspired me to get some too. So I'm actually wearing right now I got two pairs. I got actual like cowboy boots, and then I got these like work boots that have tread on them. And that's the one thing that I didn't like about the boots that I had already that were from Fry. They're very slick. They don't grab. And so I've ate it a couple times, and especially on guest spots or traveling to other, man, I fell really hard when I was in Portland, when we were kind of walking around and stuff. We were in a city, and man, it was raining and it was slick, and I just fell on my ass. I also went hiking in them. I didn't realize we were going to go hiking. I mean, it was low key hiking, but it was like muddy, and I fell again. It was one thing after another, but whatever, you know, mud, comes off and bruises go away. I didn't really get mussed up too much, but they're slick, you know, the bottom of boots, like cowboy boots and stuff like that, they're very slick and they don't have much grab to them. So they're great for dancing, and it kind of inspires me to want to check out some line dancing and you know, see that scene out, because now I got my boots. New boot goofing. What else? I met Dave, I forget his last name, but apparently it sounds more ethnic, than he looks, but, he was a character. He's a big fan of Jesus, and he also loves, skateboarding and just such a character. He was opposite me where I was staying, you know, where I was working in Goldfang, his booth. And I got to see him receive from London, another artist, this really cool old Bible. I mean, I was kind of envious about this Bible he got to have that London gave him. And London was covering up like a small cross on his temple, that on Dave's temple, that he was replacing it with three nails, which has the same connotations. It really, honestly, it fit better than the cross did. It was definitely an upgrade to the cross. Dave was hilarious, though. He was always trying to get everybody to get their face or their head tattooed. Real character, made my heart happy and chuck. I mean, everybody did there, but he was a trip, and I was so happy that I got to experience him receiving this Bible, getting this cover up, and we took a little bit of a video session where we recorded him getting tattooed while, you know, like clutching the Bible. And it was only because I was looking at him and he was kind of hugging himself, and I was like, man, it looks like you need like a stuffed animal or something to hug, or a pillow. And he was like, nah, I'm fine. And London was like, whoa, you should get your Bible. You should hug your Bible. And this is what, honestly, guys, I love being in a private studio because it's a lot about my clients, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't miss the banter and the experience of being around other artists, and just the fun that you can have around other creatives who, you know, will just do the most. I mean, it's spontaneous, it's in the moment, it's playful, it's like magical almost. It's like in that vein of, I don't know, the here and now, that's just so beautiful, and it's just spontaneous. The whimsy is there, and it's really cool. And so I, you know, lots of moments like that, I got to hang out with Renee. She had to leave early, earlier than my guest spot actually ended with. She had to go to a tattoo convention of her own in Colorado, which is really cool. So she, you know, she had to leave the studio and and pack up. And it's so cool to watch somebody create such a space. If ever you talk to Renee Little, ask her about her space, Goldfang, and what it looked like prior. It was this abandoned warehouse space that, I mean, it looked like a post-apocalyptic nightmare. And what she has made this place into is just unreal. It's unreal. And almost everything in it has her hand, her touch. Like, nothing matches, but it all does. There's just beautiful hints of gold everywhere, like the name Goldfang. I love her t-shirts. I bought a couple of those. I bought her tattoo ointment because, if nothing else, I wanna use it on me for future tattoos, which I hope to get. And I thoroughly loved everything about my experience there, and I want to go back. I'd like to go back sooner than later. I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, now that I'm home and kind of settling back from the whole trip, it was a lot. But it was also so accessible too, guys. Like, it's so easy to get in a car, man, and like just drive. I mean, really, to get there, it was like a straight shot almost. I only had to turn a few times off of 70, and then it was like, I think it was like 340, and then it was on 81, and then 81 turned into 40, and it was just straight, like straight the whole time, straight through Tennessee, which I love Tennessee. I'm super sad that my friend Carol LeBaron, been on the podcast, she was actually sick and recovering. I would have liked to have tried to get a hold of her, but now that I know that Tennessee is not that bad, it's like, it's like a 10-hour drive, but I don't think it's even that much to get to Carol because it's on the edge of Tennessee, her area. Now that I know that it's that accessible, I really, really, really want to go to Tennessee. Honestly, what I was thinking after all of this was that I would maybe the next guest spot aim to work in Tennessee, have a couple days that I visit with Carol LeBaron, and then have a guest spot somewhere in Nashville because I really want to check out Nashville, and then cruise through Arkansas at the end of that, spend just fun time in Oklahoma because I really want to hang out with the people that I was there with. Chase was talking about doing some waterboard kayak action in the summertime. That sounded amazing. Just stuff to look forward to. Everybody there was so fun. I'd love to relax with them more and really have a great time. I haven't even spoken about Karma, but that was another amazing time too. And I'd love to just have some either off time or hangout time with the people there. Of course, that wasn't really, I mean, it was a part of what I experienced when I went there, but, you know, I had to work in between. So, you know, everybody had to work in between. But, you know, I think if I scheduled some fun time, maybe a couple art days with just the folks that I worked with this past time, and then fun only in Oklahoma, pickleball too. Like, I want more pickleball. Oh, it's awesome. And then fun only in Oklahoma. And then on the way back, schedule a guest spot in Missouri. And then I'm thinking Indiana as well. I actually ran into a lady. I'm jumping past Karma. I'll get back to that. I met a lady at the Super 8 that we stayed at. Tiffany, she was lovely. She told me about her tattoo artist. His name's Baby Cakes. His name's Daniel. And he's funny as shit, man. Like, I really want to meet this guy. He's hilarious. And he does really great, like, tattoo ads. He's pretty funny. And I kind of dig him. And I love just the, the special happening of meeting this woman at the Super 8 when we checked in late at night and she was getting off of her shift and my dad told her about me being a tattoo artist and she really was excited about it. So maybe work in Indiana, hang out with Tiffany, maybe meet Daniel. That'd be fun. I don't know. He might not want to meet me. Who knows? I'm not sure, like either come back from there or do a spot in Ohio too, because Ohio is on the way. There's Red Tree. There's lots of possibilities. And I would, every time I do these trips, like, you know, in 2000, was it? I forget the year. But when I went to Omaha, they were like, you just came here, man. You should do more of a tour next time. And of course I didn't. I just came to Oklahoma afterwards. And they were like, you're just coming to Oklahoma. You're not going anywhere else. And I'm like, no. Largely because Rico didn't come. And I didn't want to take my family out of the mix too long. I could see doing this trip and doing a tour if I got another tattoo artist involved. I have several lady tattoo artists that maybe it might have to come down to the fall or something like that. Maybe I can convince them to, you know, take a road trip with me out to all these places and do this tour with me and both of us guest spot and really, you know, travel with another tattoo artist. And that would be fun and fruitful. And I do have a couple folks that I would ask to see if they would be interested in doing that. That's the biggest reason is that if Rico's not going to come, I really can't take that long away from home. And a week, honestly, is kind of too short. It's enough to like work at a place and have a good time and kind of feel it out. It's a good maiden voyage kind of thing, but everything went by way too fast and there just didn't feel like enough time. I just loved these places so much and the people. So on that note, karma. Karma, I met Rick and his crew, which, you know, he doesn't have the same crew anymore. Now it's just his family, mostly because I think that he's really trying to elevate the seriousness of his place. And I could tell that he really wants for the people there to understand why they're there and to come ready to work, ready to do a good job. Have the utmost respect. He's been in the industry for 30 years. My big hope is to have both him and Renee on the podcast and get diary entries from both of them about their beginnings. Both are kind of trepidatious about it. They both kind of, you can tell that they've been through a lot. You can tell that it's been a mixed bag. That much time in the game will produce quite a fettered experience. And it also kind of makes you a little leery because you don't want to start drama. And, it was a big thought of mine when I created this podcast was that I didn't really want to start any drama either. That's why I felt like personal stories were the best way to go because I mean, you really can't take away from a personal story. I mean, you can. I listen to a lot of commentators and, you know, sometimes, you know, you love to hate them. But that's kind of what they know. I mean, there's not a single thing that they can say that isn't without its critique. And they kind of know about that. And it's just hard when you're saying things or you're telling about something to walk cautiously and speak very, very graciously all the time, especially when some shit's happened to you. And, you know, I hope when people listen to the podcast, they know they're getting a moment in time. They're getting that person's perspective at that time. And it is just that. It's that person's perspective, and it's what they have to give in that moment. We all evolve. We all grow. I hope that's also known about this, is that this is a diary. It's not just mine. It's not just the people who's been on it. It's a moving thing. It's something that is supposed to show progress and give all of you who listen the understanding that we're all in this. We're all doing a thing, and we're all growing and seeking and striving and struggling and all of that. And it's not easy. It really isn't. So it was a bit interesting going into karma, because when I met Rick and his crew, you know, it was in paradise, and I met a bunch of his crew. I even hung out with some of his crew after hours, and caught up with everybody and said hi just for a moment. Because in tattooing, man, that stuff can happen so fast, you know, like paradigm shift so quickly. And at the end of the day, it's just business. It's hard because, I mean, you guys have heard me after I was let go at Tattooed Heart. It's hard to have boundaries, everyone, because you're intimately with these coworkers. You're doing something that, you know, it's art. The whole premise with art is to go beyond boundaries or to test boundaries. I mean, you're kind of like a pseudo visual scientist in a lot of ways, or, you know, you're healing yourself. So you got to kind of go deep, and you experience people at levels that not a lot of people get to experience or witness. And it's hard not to, you know, really go beyond a normal business attitude with people. And quite frankly, I don't really have that about me. The corporate environment I don't even understand why people enjoy it. I guess they like the boundaries. They like to just leave it all in one place and go home, or, you know, not take it too seriously. Excuse me. Excuse me, listeners. I like to give it all in each place. I struggle with boundaries. I grew up in a family business, and I worked for my father first. And, you know, it's hard to maintain boundaries when, you know, you go to work and then you're with your family, and then you come off of work and you're not with your family, but the conversation about work still continues, because it's all about the family in the end. It's all about giving back to this core home base. And even if it isn't your family that you're working with, you know, you understand people. You got to understand that they're all going back to their families too, and they all got to do what's right for them, you know? Oh, pardon, listeners. I had to take a bathroom break. That's the other thing, man. Like, going on road trips, you find out a lot about your ability to hold liquids or not, in my case. I have been informed that my pelvic floor needs to grow in strength. That is pretty reminiscent of my entire body at this point. So given how sore I was after pickleball, it's just one of many things that I need to work on. The carnivore diet, I loved. It did a lot for me, but I have been so blasphemous outside of that. I've even accepted gluten this past trip. I didn't eat badly, but I didn't eat restricted when it came to any kind of diet. So it's definitely shown, everybody. I feel very bloated and very out of shape. But, you know, hopefully God will bless me with more time to turn that ship around. Anyway, what I was getting at, it was, it's hard to have boundaries when it comes to these small businesses, and it's hard to and it would be hard for me, I think, to create a place that was fully mine with really no intention of it being fully mine, but it ending up being that way. And then knowing all the things that happened along the way, and I've experienced this with my family. Now, we had our business and we did so much for the people who worked for us, and just no matter what, man, it just, stuff goes awry that you just don't ever think could. And you can't say that there was bad people involved necessarily. It's just that everybody's coming from different perspectives and different parts of their lives, and it's just really hard. It scares the shit out of me, if I'm being honest. It really scares the crap out of me. You know, I've been tossing around the idea of opening up my own shop. Rika's pretty convinced that we could do it. I'm not saying that we couldn't. I just, it scares me, man. It scares me to have that kind of place. And I mean, I guess that's stuff that's worth doing if it scares you. Ultimately, I would love it if I was able to come together with my family and do something with all of us, or at least kind of reinvigorating that family business kind of vibe and start from there. Tattooing is definitely a me thing. It's definitely something that only I do. And nobody in my family wants a tattoo. My dad has a tattoo by me, but he doesn't want any more. He just had me cover up an old one that he had. So, and neither my niece or my nephews are really that interested. My niece could be later on in life, I don't know. But nobody else is. There's been talk of little tattoos that maybe my sister-in-law and her family might get together. But nothing crazy, you know. Not that you have to go crazy. You can have little tattoos. But yeah, there's not much interest in tattooing in my family in general. And like I said, whatever I'm feeling, I could relate a lot to Rick and Karma in the place that he's at right now, because it's very similar to what I'm feeling right now. Like, really foundational, really family oriented and family first. Really making sure that I'm growing from a place that feels very right, and that I'm not overly negotiating my expectations. I want to keep my expectations up, and I want the people who come into my life to meet those expectations. And you know, because I'm kind of tired of leveraging those things, and I know I'm not a person who expects a lot from people. I expect a lot from myself. From others, I feel like I give them a very even-keeled base, and I can understand, you know, when things happen. Like I said about our Airbnb, you know, it wasn't perfect, but it was fine. You know, like, stuff happened, but it was stuff that would have happened had we been there or not. You know, like, you can't really expect that, you know, stuff doesn't go awry. You know, life happens. I think Rico's home, so if there's some background noise, apologies. But anyway, getting back to Karma, I had a wonderful time there. I was able to tattoo Rick, which was such an honor. You know, tattooing a tattoo artist that has been in the game for 30 years, hearing his background, meeting his family, eating the food recommendation. I mean, I got to eat tongue on old Route 66. And where was it? Let me make sure, because I can look this up really quickly. I was told by Rick that once I ate here, that I could officially say that I had been in Tulsa, because anybody who knows Tulsa knows this place, and they praise it for the best tacos. It's a Reddit thread. So if you've gone there, you know, this is the place to go. Where is it? Another place in Tulsa that we went to that was really cool upon recommendation from Rick was The Gathering Place. There's shots of that on my timeline on my actual tattoo page that you guys can check out. It was a beautiful park. Super, super nice. It was next to the hydroelectric company and that whole like Tulsa energy works. But it was gorgeous. Some of it was under construction, but just a gorgeous park, a great skate park. I kind of want to tell Dave from Goldfang about it because it was so epic. I got to let him know. I got to send him some videos and be like, hey, bro, I don't know if there's anything like this in Oklahoma City, but Tulsa, man, what's up? It was called the Taco Joint on Route 66. It's called Don Francisco's. And another great eat spot in Tulsa I have never in my life experienced was Indonesian food, and it was at Rendang Indonesian Bistro, Rendang and Company Indonesian Bistro. And we went there because Rick had his friend in town from Bali, and he hadn't seen his friend Tim for a couple years, if not more, because Tim had a stroke and was recovering, and you know, he was now recovered and back on the road, but just trying to pick things up. And he's an incredible salesman, and he sells gorgeous jewelry that they make there in Bali, and masks and carved skulls. I mean, I took some pictures, but, you know, I thought I was going to be able to videotape the whole thing and realized very quickly that I did not have enough battery on my phone to record everything that was going on. In fact, I left like really late at night, hoping that I would be able to feed my father and I with Jersey Mike subs. But then the delivery person, I forget what company it was, but he didn't deliver our subs. So they refunded me, but we couldn't eat. So we had to make something really quickly at night. So that was not fun. But yeah, I had to stay around because Tim was so cool and so rare, and he was selling things that you would never find. And of course, every piece of jewelry that I loved was kind of going like he wasn't going to sell them anymore. So it was like, oh my God, I got to get this piece because they're not going to sell it anymore. And it's so unique and so cool. So on top of boots, I bought jewelry. I bought more things for myself, honestly, than I did anybody. And that's kind of sad to admit, especially going into Mother's Day. Oh, God help me. But I made the most of my trip. And let's see, what else? Rendang was so good. The food, I love Indonesian food. It's like a great combination of Chinese, Thai, Indian almost. Like it just kind of has kind of all things. And it has like a Korean, you know, Asian, but it's like all things, and you eat with your hands. That made it extra special. On top of tattooing Rick, I also tattooed his daughter, Sarah. She allowed me to do a flash piece that I think I designed in 2004. So the flash piece was almost as old as she was. I signed it back then, so it's 20-year-old flash, and she's 21. And it has a skull. So it was very cool because both her father and her both got a skull. But it was like a death head moth that I kind of muted into a skull a little bit more than usual. And that was really cool to do a flash design that I hadn't done before on someone. And not only that, but do something to both, you know, a 30-year-old tattoo artist and his daughter. I mean, what an epic thing. And then I got to do a dragon on Bonnie Sue. And she just saw I was in the area. She had just gotten back from Thailand with her husband. And she had wanted this dragon that she had seen. It was tile work from the Ming Dynasty Chinese. And she just loved it. And her Chinese zodiac is a dragon. And she always wanted it. And she had been wanting it for like 2 years, and then she saw my work and she saw where I was and she saw that I was in town at that moment, and she just reached out and it just all kind of worked out all at once, and it was super cool. So I got to tattoo somebody in Tulsa. Man, Rick was advertising the crap out of me for Tulsa. I think he was a little worried that I wouldn't be busy, but I wasn't worried about that at all. If nothing else, I would have hung out with him. And like I said, tattooing him and his family was pretty special. And meeting his family was really special. And meeting his friend, Tim, from Bali, of all places. And then Tim's son, G Rai, it was just epic. It was just epic. I caught somebody that isn't in town frequently and hadn't been in town for years, and I was just in this really beautiful bubble of time to experience everybody. And then on top of that, my dad was with me. And I think for my time in Tulsa especially, my dad was very cool to have around because, you know, having my dad be there, and he was my first mentor. He taught me hair, and we had kind of been in a family business. I think it was really cool for him and Rick to kind of relate to each other and trade dad jokes and dirty jokes and a whole bunch of different stuff, and you know, kind of knock around some thoughts and feelings and stories together. It was super cool. It was much cooler than I would have given on my own. And I really feel like having my dad there as someone, you know, as an extension of me, was very special, because it was able to share more about the intimacy of my life with Rick, because he was giving so much to me. And both him and his wife, Angela, gave me so much. I mean, on top of the skin and, you know, access to his family, just the information, the banter, it was all so great. So, in short, diary listeners, highly recommend road trips. Highly recommend spending as much time as possible, as you are given to spend with your family. Don't be a brat like me and resent bringing your father. Embrace it and love it and make the most out of it. Take lots of pictures. I wish I would have taken more, but I'm happy for the ones I took. Play, investigate, eat, listen, all those things. It's a great education to go and visit another studio, both in who you are as a person, travel, life in general, but also you learn a lot about tattooing or whatever craft you're interested in, and it's very cool. So if you haven't done it yet as a tattoo artist, and I'd say if you're 3 years in, I mean, my friend Nicole, like I mentioned her, she did it, I think, a year and a half, 2 years into her tattoo career. Do it, you know, like, don't hold back. There's no reason to. Give yourself some time, thoroughly plan it out as best you can, and then leave moments for really happy, little moments and surprises, because that makes it the best. You know, you plan enough and then you leave some whimsy about it. And I can honestly say that, that's exactly what this was. It was the perfect amount of planned stuff and the perfect amount of whimsy. I got to spend time with my dad. It's just so cool. I'm so overwhelmed by how awesome my dad is. And yeah, diary listeners, thank you for listening to this week's podcast. I know it was kind of a long one. It was 2 weeks that I had to wrap up, and I'm sure I've left out a bunch. Pardon the interruptions, my eating sounds in the beginning, but I had to. Once I picked out a pickle for a snack and realized that it kind of tied into pickleball, I just found it was too good. It was too good not to include. Plus, it just adds to that fun surprise. And, you know, just like I did my lip smacking and my little raw things that happen. I don't know why, but I'm finding that my breath is a little strained this time. I feel like I'm taking a lot of deep breaths. I don't know. But anyway, I gotta go, listeners. I have a day. I have designs. It's full bore into next things. I have to get back to people. I have more things to do. While I was doing this with you, a couple people hit me up on text messages. It's constant. Roll with it. Live your life. Thank you for listening to mine for a little bit. It was an awesome, awesome trip that I'm really happy that I got to report about, and that it was just wonderful. So God bless you, listeners. Have a great week. Make it powerful. And if you get an opportunity to travel, I highly recommend you do. Later.
Thanks for listening. You can find the Apprenticeship Diaries on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our IG is the_apprenticeship_diaries. If you would like to offer constructive criticism or an interview, drop us an email at theapprenticeshipdiaries@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from our listeners.